Before we get started, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who has stepped in through our Patreon site to support what Skirmish Play does, to kind of help our mission out, to help us do some unique things. That's made it possible for us to upgrade some of our equipment this year. We're really excited to take it out there. We did that over the summer, to take it out there, make some things happen this fall, some kind of unique things. And you guys with Patreon have really made that possible. We hope more folks will jump on board with us. Come on and support us. You can check it out at patreon.com/skirmishplay. Definitely want to, you know, to have anybody who is, you know, excited about what we're doing over here, excited about our mission, to jump in and come out and support us. So that's definitely a critical part of what we do. So thanks a lot, and enjoy the podcast. This is Bart Isley. I'd like to welcome you to the Skirmish Play podcast. We are checking in for the first time this football season, and we're having to do things a little differently right now. Our man Ryan Yeaman, our creative editor, is on the road right now, so we're recording separately here, so it may sound a little bit disjointed and won't have maybe that usual flow that we have. But we're going to make it work and really kind of dive into what's an exciting football season. And we're, you know, less than 24 hours now from kickoff for a lot of teams across the area. And we're just really excited to get it going. And we're going to start by diving into, you know, two different sort of overarching themes that are out there that both Ryan and I want to talk about. Ryan's going to talk a little bit about these loaded backfields that are sort of around the area. And I wanted to jump in and talk about just the sheer wealth of quarterbacks that are back. This is the first time I can really remember where five or six of the top six, you know, quarterbacks in the Jefferson District are back. I mean, there is a loaded position this year. You've got everybody from the technician, the guy who's the perfect fit for the offense over at Charlottesville, and Sam Neill, tremendous triple option guy. You've got Malik Bell, who is out at Louisa, and he's just playing super well. He was fantastic last year. He and Joe Whalen were just a force on the ground. And Bell has slimmed down a little bit this year, and he's going to be pitching it around. Then you've got Kevin Jarrell is back for Monticello, who is just a tremendous talent, a guy who has not had the best supported cast around him so far, but this year has a lot of the pieces, a lot of guys that he's really comfortable with back, including Austin Haverstrom, the receiver who's headed to Delaware. So you've got Jarrell, you've got Bell, you've got Neil, and, you know, then you flip around and you got Derek Domek out at Western, you know, tremendous baseball talent, who is also, you know, a great dual threat quarterback, and he's working with a lot of, you know, just fun pieces to the puzzle out there. Derek Klein at running back and Luke Tenuta on the line, and then you've got, you know, a variety of receivers that he can look at, just a fleet of guys out there, including Robert Sims, who was on, you know, our cover this week. So, yeah, then you've got Jaquan Anderson. We haven't even talked about him yet. He is the, you know, Jefferson District reigning offensive player of the year, and they're not sure if they're going to use him as quarterback. That's not totally the plan right now. They want to work in, you know, DeQuandre Taylor over there, you know, at quarterback for the Patriots. And I think that that's exciting to see Almar, you know, have that kind of depth and have that ability to give a guy like Anderson, who probably projects at the next level as a running back or a defender or a slot receiver, to give him a chance to play some different spots. So it's going to be fun to watch, you know, what they're able to do with him, but he's still technically a quarterback that's back. And then Kenyon Carter out at Orange County, who had a tremendous campaign last year, really had a breakout year, and, you know, was a newcomer of the year type guy. And he had to be excited about that many good quarterbacks. That means the quality of play, just that position has such a seismic effect on what goes on, that you're probably going to see better play across the board in the Jefferson District because of that. And it's not just the JD that has a ton of quarterbacks back. Stab has Thomas Harry and Chase Emmerich back. Covenant has John Hemme back. Fork Union has Luke Wilson and Hayden Miles back. It kind of reminds me of the 2008, you know, I think it was around 2008 where Monticello had Michael Graham, Orange had Quentin Hunter, you know, Charlottesville had Kevin Leatherwood. I mean, just a ton of guys who were top flight athletes who were really good at that spot for what their teams needed them to be. And that's always exciting. And to be honest, you know, the returners are great and it's a just incredibly deep, fun class, but the newcomers are pretty good as well. Xavier Kane out of Blue Ridge moves over to quarterback after playing receiver and defensive back last year. You got Elijah Lewis also moving over to quarterback after being more of a, you know, hybrid slash type role for Madison County. You got Devin McCray out of Goochland, who I think is, you know, we're going to talk a little bit more about him later, but he has the potential to be really good. And then you got Bryce Wilson at Nelson, who is pretty well suited to play, you know, that spot for what Nelson is going to try and do out of the pistol. So a lot of, you know, a good mix of newcomers, but it's really about that, like, incredible group of guys who's coming back to play that spot.
Hey, guys, it's Ryan here. Piggybacking off of what Bart was talking about there with the quarterback play, I think one of the things that really sticks out to me this year coming in is not just what's back in the backfield for a lot of these teams when it comes to the running backs, but just a little bit how much the style has maybe changed and or sort of stayed the same. When you look at Charlottesville and Louisa, these are two teams that they didn't graduate very much, both up front on the line and then in the backfield. And I think those two teams in particular are in an interesting spot where you have seniors all around. But whether it's in Charlottesville case, Tobias Foley, you look at Trey Durrett, Raheem Davis, Sam Neal, and then a whole bunch of guys up returning in front, Larry Henderson and the gang there. That has great potential. And that's a team that can run power, they can run on the edge, they can do so many different things. That's a diverse triple option. You think of triple option being sort of one-dimensional in some ways that you're just always running the ball, but if you do it so many different ways with so many different pieces, it's just really tough to defend against. And if those guys block up front and just little holes, it doesn't take a lot for something to break big. We've seen that 1,000 times with the playoff runs that Goochland's made, that Louisa's made, you know, running single wing, wing T, triple option. We haven't seen that be all that successful so far in our area, but that's also because we haven't really even seen it. Charlottesville's the only team of the teams in our area that runs it. So I think that's going to be really fascinating to watch. And then over at Louisa, you have Joe Whalen, Raekwon Jones, Malik Bell, and then Tony Thurston as an offensive tackle and his group of buddies up front. That is just a power running team. And we saw Louisa sort of get some wear and tear last year. I don't think we saw the potential quite from Louisa at the end because of those injuries. Louisa could go a lot further than they did last year. I think the team almost in a way, because of those injuries, just couldn't quite put the playoff performance together that they had in them. And this year, I think it'll be interesting to see how they distribute the ball, how they sort of keep it even, get everybody healthy going into November, and just let the chips fall where they may after that. But when you look at Malik Bell, what he can do in terms of just grinding teams down, Joe Whalen is, I mean, that's such a versatile runner right there. He can just sort of do a little bit of everything. He's so athletic. He's been there for 4 years as a starter, really almost underappreciated in a lot of ways for how consistent he is and just what he does game to game. And then Raekwon Jones, last year we saw him sort of come on, really taking some splits away from those guys and some reps and helping them stay healthier. This year we're going to see a little bit more from that, and that's going to be really good for them as a whole. And I think what's interesting, these are the two teams that have the power running backs back. And last year was the year of the running back. And even Jamal Thompson at Albemarle, these were guys that were just physical runners. And this year we've got a little bit more speed from a lot of these other teams. Orange is just a different team in general, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But Monticello, a speed team there. We just have a little bit more athleticism and less power, it seems, overall, except for those two schools, Charlottesville and Louisa, returning everything that they've got. And it's going to be very fun to watch them just sort of ground and pound it out. It's old-fashioned football. It's what everybody loves to see.
The other thing we like to do when it comes to preseason football is, you know, some superlatives. Not really predictions, but just, you know, some teams out there, some players out there that we feel like you ought to watch, that you ought to pay attention from, you know, guys that we've already learned about and that we're excited to talk about, or, you know, teams that feel like that, you know, maybe some change is about to happen or some good things are about to happen. So we'll start first with the most likely to make a playoff run. And for me, the two teams that feel like they're the most likely, Goochland and Altmar. Goochland, to me, strikes me as a typical Goochland squad. They're very athletic, very good defensively. They have some really interesting pieces, a stable of running backs. I swear, you know, there's just not very many years where they are thin at running back. But this year, you got to really like sort of the depth and diversity of the talent there. You got Jasper Carter. You got John King. You got Cole Knuckles. I mean, there's just a ton of guys who can tote the ball, who you know, really give them something to work with. Six different players that Coach Joe Fowler has said could see significant time running the ball. Carter's really the one that he's the most experienced. He ran for, you know, more than 600 yards last year. He's a very talented kid. King is a great linebacker. He's been like a three-year starter there. But, you know, and then Knuckles, you know, another quick kid. And they're all just really good, tough, hard runners. And that's exactly what Goochland is looking for in that wing tee. So the offense is really good, and the defense is just loaded. I'm a really big fan of you know what they've got on that side of the ball. Ricky Mayfield is a really, really good defensive end. King is tremendous, you know, tremendous tackler. And they've got, you know, they had a ton of interceptions last year, and they're back with a lot of those guys who picked off those passes. You know, they're back in the mix. You've got Devin McCray, you've got Cole Knuckles, Perry Snead Johnson, and Cameron Holman are both back too. And I think that those guys are, you know, going to be the kind of guys that contribute over, you know, a lot of years. And Holman in particular, he's a freshman. Looks like he's going to get a chance to play. Generally, if Goochland is playing a freshman, that is because they are very, very good. That was the case with McCray last year. A few years ago, that was the, you know, the case. They played, you know, Reed Chenault when he was a freshman. They played Jordan Jefferson when he was a freshman. You know, those are all scrimmage play type guys. So Goochland feels like a team. Yeah, it's not a big surprise at all. They were state, semifinalists last year, so not a big surprise to see Goochland back in that mix. I feel like they've got a really good chance to make a run. They also have a place kicker in Zach Gordon that they can rely on. That's big when it comes to the playoffs. And then, like I said, Albemarle, I feel like, is the other team that could really, you know, make some noise. Albemarle has some pieces to put back together, but I think them getting over the hump last year is going to give them a lot of confidence, a lot of, you know, sort of we've been there type feel to them. And whatever they decide to do with Jaquan Anderson, who we talked about off the top, is going to be really exciting. And I think it's going to make a big difference. And he's got some, you know, weapons to throw to. He could be a weapon that they do throw to. They've got Brock Shorten. I think he's an underrated running back, one cut and go type guy. Very hard runner between the tackles. And they've got some athletes at wide receiver that are kind of exciting. And they're all playing behind a really good offensive line. Jaquel Johnson is, you know, a guy who's been around for a while. And then you've got, you know, Jorvin Maupin. I mean, they just have some players. Ricky Zeller, who I think needs to get healthy. But, you know, just a lot of guys who can really make some plays, you know, make some plays happen. They can open up the holes. And if that offense can get going, that's going to be special. Defensively, that's probably where the most work has got to come for them. But they have a secondary that is unreal. Chris Anderson, Niall Arnold, you know, anybody could really kind of, a lot of different guys could sort of fit in over there, and they seem ready to make some plays. And I think that could be a really dangerous group that could create some turnovers and maybe cover up, some of the front seven's, revamped feel if those guys are making those big plays and creating some turnovers as teams try and pass. So going to be fun to see what they do against Mountain View to open up. But yeah, Almar feels like a team that by the end of the year should be much better than they are now and could be peaking around that time.
When you look at playoff runs, what we're really talking about here is teams that can make it to the Final Four. Who can get into that first week in December? And over the years, what we've seen is Goochland's made a number of runs, three since 2011. Western Albemarle in 2014, they made a run. Buckingham County, they've made a run. It's rarefied air, but we've seen a couple of them do it. And while I 100% agree that with Bart that Goochland has an amazing opportunity to make another run, the other team that sticks out to me is obviously Louisa coming into this season as sort of the front runner in the Jefferson District because of all that they have returning. This team has a ton of swagger on offense, and it's a mean offense, a clock-controlling offense. That's a great recipe for success. But the defense that they have behind it, you pair the two together, and the old cliche is true, defense wins championships. Brandon Smith at linebacker, the guy's got 20 college offers for a reason. He's a stud, and he leads this group. And this is a team that thrives on physicality. And for them to have that on both sides of the ball, and they're playing in a year where it's Mark Fisher's last year with the team, his last run, there's going to be a level of emotion this team plays with that it's just going to make this team really, really tough. And really mean and intimidating. And when you put the crowd that they have in the jungle behind that, it's just it's a different atmosphere. It's more than just football. That's where it gets it sort of transcends into something a little deeper. It becomes a community gathering. It's just sort of, it's, for lack of a better term, it's Louisa's church. And that's going to be really fun to watch how that plays out. And I just think that if this team stays healthy on both sides of the ball, you know, keeps the big horses from getting too dinged up, then I think that you pair the style of play that they have offensively with what they have defensively. It's from all the teams that we've seen be successful, that's how you get it done. And we'll see what happens early on. Even just week one, how they look against Cortland, I think that'll tell us a lot. But Louisa County, I would keep an eye on, as all the teams in the JD. I think they've got the biggest bullseye on their back, and they're going to get the best from each team that they play. And while that makes it difficult to win games, that's also how playoff teams go on these runs. When they're the front runner and they take everybody's best shot, and if they survive it, good things happen to them. So it's going to be fun to watch that one.
Another superlative we want to run down was the teams most likely to improve. For me, that's got to be Fork Union. That is a really good football team to have gone 2-8 last year. They play a really challenging schedule, and this year is no different. Goochland and Appomattox are the two public school teams they play, and then they play Bullis and Benedictine, and then they run the Prep League gauntlet. So, again, the schedule is a super challenge, but That team just felt a little too talented, a little too, I don't know. They're a pretty good football team. They gave Goochland a little bit of a run, last year. Isefa Puali is back, and to me, pound for pound, he might be the best sideline to sideline defender in the area. He just seems to be everywhere. Every time you look up, there he is. And I think that if you got a chance to see him play against Goochland last year, or if you just saw tape of it, you get a sense for what a nose for the ball Sefa has. Just a really tremendous player who is so difficult to contain, and he's just really slippery. And that's just what he does on defense. If you flip around on offense, he's a
1,000-yard rusher type guy at running back. And he's got some horses to kind of make some things happen this year in front of him. Justin Morgan is a guy that I think has big-time potential. He came to Fork Union because his brother joined the post-grad program, and then, you know, he decided to come on with the prep team. And Morgan is just clearly a very technically sound offensive lineman already, and pretty good defensive lineman as well, defender. And I think that, but on offense, I think is where he can make a really big difference. He can move some people. ISFA doesn't need much of a crease, and Morgan is the kind of guy who can get him, and he has a lot of help up there. The offensive line looks better. It's not super deep, but they look better. And I think that 2-8, from last year, I think they can definitely improve on that. You know, they've got Logan Justice back, Will Stupolsky, two capable quarterbacks. Stupolsky's a guy who plays so much bigger than his frame. He's just a small guy, but he can boot it too. He kicked a 45-yard field goal against Fluvanna in a scrimmage. So really a fun group that I think Fork Union's put together down there. I think that, and they've clearly put in some really good work. And you've got a running back slash linebacker like Puali, and you got a receiver slash tight end slash defensive back like Justice. You got a jack of all trades like Stupolsky. I mean, they just have some guys that, if they can stay healthy, certainly look like they can improve on last year. But again, that schedule is just really difficult.
Yeah, as far as teams for improvement go, I think I'll stick with the 2-8 category like Bart, and I'll go with the Buckingham County Knights. Of all the training camp visits that we made this August and then, you know, late July, Buckingham County to me stuck out the most, mostly because I saw the numbers increase from last year, but I saw a different attitude. I saw a team with a lot more confidence, just players having more fun on the sidelines. The numbers were up, and Coach Josh Wallace, he's a different style coach than Craig Gill was, and it takes a while for a different philosophy to sort of set in. And Coach Josh Wallace, he's about discipline. If your grades aren't up, he's not going to go to bat for you. If you don't do the right things, you're not going to play. And so it takes a while to transition from those kind of things and have them have players buy in. And what I saw in August from Buckingham was a group that was having fun doing it Coach Wallace's way. And I think with the rebuild that they went through last year, they lost so many seniors from that group in 2015. And then again, we talk about all the time that the off season that county had, it was just so heartbreaking in a number of different ways between Dyshawn Perkins and then Coach Craig Gill, both of them passing. It's just really sad, and it's really hard for a community to get over that. And I think this year in camp, what we saw is a team not so much putting that in the rear view, but just ready to move on. And I think between all the returning talent that they have, you got a great senior leader in Bryson Newby. He plays on both sides of the line. Players like that find a way to inspire other athletes. You see it all the time, especially for smaller schools like Buckingham, the 2A schools. But you pair that with a bunch of really young athletes that got a lot of playing time last year. Tyrese Ayers, you got Bryce Leak at running back. Walter Edwards is back at running back as well. But those guys play on both sides of the balls, you know, linebacker and so forth, defensive back. William Davis, Brandon Mosley, another lineman. And then, you know, the new buzz around Buckingham County was, what's Gary Toney going to be like? This is a young kid, but the coaching staff's really excited about him. You could see that the players were excited about him making little plays here and there. Yeah, it's the second week of training camp. It's not the same as putting the pads on and squaring up against an opponent like Appomattox like they get in week one. But I think Buckingham in particular, we saw them for 6 years straight put together a lot of really good teams, regular season runs, and then playoff runs, a Final Four run there with Kenneth Johnson back in 2014. And I think this year you're going to see 2-8 be very easy for them. I think you can easily bump them up to a 5-5, maybe a 6-4, potentially a 7-3. We'll see what the rest of the James River looks like. But this is not going to be the team that we saw last year.
The last superlative that we definitely wanted to talk about is, you know, the player, the players most likely to become a household name by the end of the year. These guys are, you know, clearly, you know, have shown a lot of promise and are really kind of ready for breakout years. To me, one of those has got to be Jack Ware from Western. I think he's a guy, you know, it tends to be that Western's receivers kind of get, I wouldn't say overlooked by any stretch of the imagination, but there's usually so many of them and it's so kind of spread across the board that you can forget how good and how talented these guys are. Jack Ware is the leader in another really, really deep group of guys. And I think that Robert Sims is, you know, well-established first-team All-Jefferson District defensive back, and I think that we know a lot about him. But Jack Ware feels like a guy who can really be a game-breaker for them. Derek Domek's going to look to him. Domek has a great sense of just whoever's open gets the ball, and that's, you know, been a sort of core philosophy for Western. And I think that's why you see that spread and why you see that depth. I mean, it's like four, you know, really good guys every single year playing receiver. It seems like they just have that kind of full unit. And, you know, this is a group that has it. And I think Ware is the guy who can kind of be that breakout guy, be that go-to guy. Back with Nick Drapanis with Kent Henry, or, you know, back before that, Dom Lasko with Steven Shuler. So I really like how Ware kid plays, just runs great routes. He seems to be open all the time. I think Jack Ware is a guy who everybody's going to know by the end of this year, if you don't know him already. And then, you know, for me, the other guy that really stands out, Devin McCray, just is the Goochland sophomore. He is obviously super athletic. Like I was talking about earlier, if, you know, they're playing a freshman like they did with McCray last year at Goochland, that is because they are super talented. It is difficult to be a freshman and to get a chance to play on that team. Yeah, they're, you know, a group 2A school, but there's just such a strong football tradition out there, and so many kids come out and you just see this sort of steady progression, it seems like. But there are guys who can kind of disrupt that. And McCray was one of those guys last year who broke out. And they, you know, he takes over for Tanner Bradshaw this year at quarterback. He'll probably still play a lot of defense. And you just got to love whenever they have a athletic, you know, guy who can make a lot of different plays and make them in a lot of different ways in that wing tee, it just opens up sort of this added dimension. And it's all about the reads. When it really comes down to it, it's all about the reads and kind of what you're able to do. And McCray is obviously going to be the kind of guy that handles that really well. And it's going to be fun to watch him develop over the next couple of years.
When it comes to household names, the fun part about that is that it usually comes from teams that make this big push from the middle of the pack up to the top. And last year we saw it with Albemarle. I don't think there's any arguing about it that Jaquan Anderson took his game to a different level at quarterback. And we'll see what sort of athlete he becomes this year with the Patriots, wherever they decide to use him. But as last year's example, I think that was the guy that just really started turning heads. And trying to find that this year, I think you go to Orange County. And the reason for that is that this is a team that they're changing the way they do things based on their personnel. And they have an established quarterback at Kenyon Carter. And now they have a kid that was supposed to be there last year but couldn't because of knee injury. And Darius Miner runs a 4.3 40, and he's fast as lightning. And that is a prototypical Orange County football player. Anytime, whenever Orange has been good or not so good, the opposing coaches, they always tell you Orange always has the athletes. And Darius Miner has the opportunity to have a season that can just really turn the Jefferson District on its head. We've seen that happen before. Tyquan Rose in 2015 just put together this season where nobody could kick to him. Nobody could punt to him. Everybody was nervous about coverage when it came to him lining up at wide out, and it just really changed the game. Just him being on the field after the first couple weeks and just a couple big plays. Darius Miner seems like he might fit that same mold and be that guy for Orange. And that's a team that they're sort of playing for that. They expect to be a team that just plays fast, gets the ball to the edge. And what I like about Miner in this role is that plays to Coach Jesse Lohr's play calling. That's always what Orange has done well, is get the ball to the edge and let's see what happens in open space. And with a quarterback like Kenyon Carter that can, he can create his own sort of time by moving out of the pocket. He can pick up yardage and move the sticks and allow sort of save those big game-breaking plays, stretching the ball downfield. He can do that with Miner. And then, who knows, just a bubble screen all of a sudden becomes a 90-yard gain. You never know. But I really like the potential for Darius Miner to be that guy that everyone's just like, who's that? And that's the fun part about the early part of the season in football, is there's going to be a bunch of kids that in just the first 2 weeks, you didn't know their names, but you're going to know them afterwards, and they're going to continue to impress you weeks going on.
Well, now that Ryan has wrapped it up for us, really excited for this football season to get going. We're going to be dropping in once a week with these kind of podcasts and, you know, just digging into what's going on in high school football in Central Virginia. It's going to be a fun year, and obviously a lot of teams with a lot of expectations, and we're going to get a chance to see right away, you know, where some of these teams stack up. So thanks a lot for listening, and we will catch you next week.